Don't say that, I'm not. My wife did by accident this morning. She said, "Chag HaMatzos." I said, "That wouldn't be half as bad as the fact that you have a pizza in your mouth."
Okay, Rabosai. We had one detail that we didn't get to in the last shiur, which is the very, very interesting discussion that what about, we were discussing heter achila. We were discussing heter achila in the last shiur.
I got to say something in general, but when I try to take the printer out, it's very, very light. If you could use more black, okay? Because it really, it doesn't come through when I try it.
What are you showing?
I mean,
I was you, but I
it might. Yeah, you also have to check how you print it out. Because I have not seen that problem.
Yeah, no, you have to, because it's color, you have to change it to plain black and white.
Anyway, yeah, get advice from Morty.
He,
yeah. He did what Al Gore claims he did. Okay, Rabosai. What about the question of Heter Achila La'achirim? Is that called Yeshbo Heter Achila? Remember, all of the world agree you need Heter Achila to be Yotze. So what if you can't eat it but someone else can? Right? La'achirim, obviously a Nivalolo. Right? Is that kosher or puzzle? Here the problem is we have a stira between different diyukim in our Gemara. On the one hand, what line in the Gemara would seem to imply, okay, from what case of the Gemara would you try to infer the answer to this question? Is it kosher or is it pasul? I can't eat it, but someone can. So is that kosher or pasul? Sorry? Truma, the Gemara says, Truma tahora, lo yito lechachila, because of some side problem, machshira and machsida, but it's kosher, you're yotze, right? So it doesn't say only some people. It says, you're yotze with truma. The stimas ha-gemara, right? Bin astam yotze with truma. I know it's only an argument from stam, right? The problem is this, is that the sort of pshat in the Gemara is that truma tehora, the pshat of the Gemara, which is said stam, it doesn't say only a kohen. It says, a person who takes an esrog of truma tehora is yotze. So the stam would mean even if they're not a kohen, so that would mean that it's kosher, they're yotze. Because a Yisrael is yotze with truma tahor, because it says stam, a person is yotze, all Jews are yotze, even though he can't eat it. But since the kohen can eat it, that's called the yeshbo heter achila. However, what's the opposite diuk, of course, from the Gemara's discussion of?
Of demai.
What happened in demai? Who's allowed to eat demai? The anim. Okay. What Achsania is, we'll get to. But the Aniyim are allowed to eat Demai. So does the Gemara say, I'm Yotze with Demai because the Aniyim can eat it? What does the Gemara say? I'm Yotze with Demai because I can be Mafkar by Nechas and be an Aniyim. But why isn't it enough that the Aniyim can eat it? Why do I have to be Mafkar by Nechas? Right? So the Diyuk is, only Yotze because I can be an ani and eat it. But the fact that that the aniim can eat it is not enough. So that seems to imply that, well, let's just, well.
But by the truma, it's fundamentally mamish kosher, so it's only.
Ah, okay, great. Okay, hold that thought. Excellent. So let's just see how the Rishonim deal with this, right? What's the din? Is it called lachem if someone can eat it? Or is it only called lachem if I personally can eat it? So here we have, I'm going to come back to what Chaim says, but we have two clear shitas in the Rishonim. One shita in the Rishonim is, Tosos. Says Tosos, and daf lamed hey, base. Dibra Maslow, the boy Mafkir Nichse, says Tosos, Lohavi Tzarek Lahai Taima. You really don't need the reason that you could be Mafkir Nechas and be an Ani. That's Lav Davka. It's unnecessary. Elmish of the Ishbo Heter Chil Lo Ani, Kimod Yisrael, the Nafik Shal Truma. the Chazit L'Kohen. Says Tosfos. So here we're going to have basically three shitas in the Rishon. One shita is Tosfos. Tosfos has a clear shita. He says, Heter achila la'achirim. Sorry. Heter achila la'achirim is called, well, actually, lachem, right? Tosfos holds to lachem. Heter achira la'achirim counts. That's Tosfos' shita. A heter achila to anyone is good enough. Why? Because a Yisrael is yotze with truma, because a kohen can eat it. Likewise, an usher is yotze with demai, because an ani can eat it. The Gemara said it's only because he can be an ani. Well, no, the Gemara didn't really mean to say that. So why did the why did the Gemara say this? Okay, you just have to say lav davka. Tosa sort of perhaps implies that maybe because an Erevin was davka, so they threw in, he doesn't say this, he applies they threw in other places. That's what Tosa says here, Yisrael Yotze be Truma Tehora, and here an Usher is Yotze Bidmai, and the whole Zvai Mafkir Vichuli is Lavdavka. Okay, obviously it's a little duchy. He has to take a line from the Gemara and says it's Lavdavka. But Tosfos says a Shita. As long as someone can eat it, that is good enough to be called a Heter Achila. It's a bit of a Chiddush, because Tosfos thinks Heter Achila is Midin Lachem. And if it's Midin Lachem, you would think you would need to be able to eat it. Okay, but apparently Tosfos thinks that, you know, here, either Lachem, it's not that you need to eat it, you just need to feed it to someone. Or Tosfos thinks Lachem is just a din in the Chefza, even though that doesn't seem to be in the other Tosfos, and we'll see next time, that it needs to be something which is Lachem to Klal Yisrael. But probably the answer is if you can feed it to someone, that's good enough. The Me'iri has two deos. The second day of the Me'iri, which I think is his preferred dea, if I recall correctly, the Me'iri has two opinions. Here we'll come back to his first one, but I think he preferred a second one. Is the diametrical opposite of the Tosfos. Where was this? Me'iri. Vishal Truma Tahora. Said the Shema Mefarish. Yeah, okay, it seems to me like he might have prayed. It's not so clear. He said the first answer is Dachuk and the second answer is Shema. So, what's more preferred, a dachuk or a shema? Whatever it is. Anyway, says the Me'iri, in his second, not Aleph, but Bet, in his second opinion, he says, nope, heter achila la'achirim doesn't count. No. Heter achila means to be lachem. Lachem means you need to own it, and you need to have a heter achila. It needs to be edible lachem. And therefore, this makes perfect sense. Asher, an Asher, the Pshat in the Gemara, right? Asher wouldn't, or what's better, the Asher is only Yotze B'demai, because he himself could eat it. How could he eat it? If he's mafkir mechassan, he himself could eat it. That's what the Gemara says. So why is the Yisrael yotzei b'truma tameya? Says the Me'iri Shem and Nefar Shakon Shnitlu yotzei after Yom Rishon Shar Miyadim to Shar Yamin. He says no. He just adds an okimta. What okimta does he add to the Mishnah? Only the Kohen is Yotzei Bitruma. Now the Mishnah just says Yotzei. Yotza. He has no kemta, he's only a Kohen. Taka Yisrael is not Yotzei Bitruma Torah on the first day. Because there's no Heter Achila for him. That's the diametric. Basically, the Me'iri adds an okimta to the Truma Tahora to defend one theory. And Tosos, Lav Davka, is a line about Demai to defend the opposite theory. However, obviously the...
This is a little dehuk, because he has to come to some kind of yoda over here, that he could be mafkir. I mean, right now it isn't that he... Right now, I mean, he could be mafkir in the chazim. Right now, he didn't mafkir in the chazim.
Okay. So you can ask what's the nature of that migo, and the Rav did say something a little more mechudish than Rishimas, if you notice. But I can handle the migo. If I could eat something, if I did something first, that counts as edible for me. I can handle that. So, the pashup shot in the Gemara, is, right, like we pointed out over there. The pashup shot in the Gemara is that the achilas kohen, the achilas kohen betruma, achilas kohen betruma is good enough for the Yisrael, but the achilas aniyim bidmai is not enough for the usher. He's only yotzei because he himself could become an ani and eat it. And there's some difference in the case of Demai and the case of Kohen. Who says this? That's Pshat in the Gemara. The Meiri in his first day says this. The Rambam seems to imply this. Why? Because the Rambam says you're yotzei with Demai only because you could be mafkir your nechassim and be an ani. Not because other people could eat it, only because you could eat it. Not like Tosos. And yet the Rambam says you're yotzei b'truma tahora. He doesn't say only a Kohen. He just says you. Now, you don't know exactly what that means, but what I would say is that the stimas harambam, meaning he didn't say only kohen yotzei b'truma, he says a person's yotzei b'truma, or a Jew is yotzei b'truma. And yet, by demai, he brings down that you're only yotzei because you yourself can eat the demai, and Rabbeinu Manoach says that explicitly. Not only that, there are those who are Madaic that maybe Rashi holds that. Why? Because Rashi says explicitly, a Yisrael is the Yotzei B'Truma because he can feed it to his grandson who's a Kohen. And here also, but Rashi does not say that the line about Migu Divay Mafili Nifse is Lav Dafka. So, it seems to me that Rashi would accept that line as Dafka, okay, although that's a weaker, that's just Pashto Tav Gemara. Okay, so, there is this opinion that says the difference. The question is, what's the difference? What's the svara l'chalik between the achilas kohen betruma and the achilas aniyim bidmai? Why am I yotzei with the truma esrog? Because, raise your hand if you're a kohen here. You're a kohen? No? Why am I yotzei with the truma esrog? Because chayim can eat it, but I'm not yotzei with the bidmai because a poor person can eat it. I'm only yotzei with the bidmai because I myself can eat it. So what's the difference? So, what's the difference? And here, I think you could take it in perhaps one of two directions. What do you think is the difference?
Well, one is easy. I mean, you didn't like it, but just don't say the migu that you said the first one.
Yeah, but then that's against the Gemara. That's Tosos. The migu is Lavdavka, but that's not what the...
No, the migu that the Asher could become a...
Yes, but then you're not. Then you're against the Gemara. The Gemara thinks you need the migu. Unless you're saying like Tosos, that the Gemara is Lavdavka, but then we already put Tosos on the board. So it could be that, I think you could take this in one of two ways. One way you could take it is, and this is sort of what the Meiri implies, and what Rabbeinu Manoach implies that I put in brackets as well. Sorry, just give me one second. And then we'll go on. Hold on half a second. Here we are. And Tosas basically has okay. The one answer is that there's a difference between a Yisrael feeding it to a Kohen and an usher feeding it to an ani.
Because it's the mitzvah, the whole mitzvah is to give it to the kohen. So it's like inherent within truma to give truma to a kohen, as opposed to just randomly giving it.
No, but let's assume that there's no mitzvah to give this to a kohen, because the assumption is going to be it belongs to him, right? So if it belongs to him, a stama, he owns it fair and square. Like, let's say he bought it from a kohen, or he inherited it from
still,
his grandfather.
Still, it's like inherent in truma, and that truma is a... Maybe it's like inherent in demai that it belongs to aniyim. It's just that...
Aha.
Like,
okay. Okay, so let me go back to that. I would say one of two things. Either here is, you could say, here, you could say it's lachem, because you can benefit from feeding it to your grandson who's a kohen. And that's the doing in Rashi. Why does Rashi can feed it to your grandson who's a kohen? Why not just say you could feed it to any kohen? The answer is no. Lachem means it has to be edible to me. But you know what? Feeding it to my relatives, to my family, also counts as edible to me. So therefore, it makes sense, especially if you're looking for a lachem perspective, which is good for Rashi Rishitase. From a lachem perspective, if someone else could eat it, why does that make it lachem for me? The answer is, if I could serve it to my family, that's lachem for me. What's the difference if I eat it or I serve it to my family? That's useful. The whole point of the Hetzer Franiyim is that it's altruistic. I am not benefiting from, I'm not adding to my household food supply by feeding it to the Aniyim. The whole reason it's much of feeding to the Aniyim is because it's altruistic, because I'm not benefiting from it. They just want me to feed these poor Aniyim. But here, it is not Lachem.
If your grandson's an Aniyim.
What?
If your grandson's an Aniyim.
That's a fascinating question, meaning, are you allowed to feed my to, what if you... it's an interesting question, meaning, what if your grandson's an Ani and you're... I don't know, I'm not sure. Like, if your grandson's an Ani, he's in your house and you're not? Okay, but I would still say that. The nature of this din is that you're taking advantage of a loophole, but that's not the nature of the din. So I would say it's not Lachem because you can't benefit from feeding it to Aniyim. The whole reason... they were matter feeding to my Aniyim is because they know that I don't benefit by feeding Aniyim. I have to volunteer to be altruistic. And they wanted to make it easier for me to volunteer to be altruistic, so they made some kulas. But then it can make sense, especially from Lachem perspective, meaning not from a pre-perspective, not obviously from a perspective of Kedudim Echlashur. From a Lachem perspective, is it called Lachem if someone else could eat it? Well, that depends. If someone else could eat it as part of my household, and me feeding my household, that's lachem. I have a use of eating it, because I feed it to my grandson. If someone else could only eat it in a way that doesn't benefit or useful to me at all, it's a purely altruistic giving, then that's not lachem. I can't benefit from eating this. I could just give it away, but I can't benefit from it. So that's one way to make a chiluk. That's not what Chaim was saying before, right?
No. That he's giving to the oni, does it count as sukkah for him?
Yes, it does count as tzedakah for him. Yes, but it's fine. That's mitzvah slav misunderstanding. Yes, you're benefiting because you get credit points up in heaven. That's not heter achila.
No, that, you can put it against your miser.
But that's not heter achila. Heter achila means I can serve it at my table to the guests I'm cooking for. It doesn't mean that I can give it away to poor people. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially from a perspective of lachem. And at least Rashi and others have the perspective of Lachem. Another answer, the Rav took this approach, and I think this is what Chaim was saying before.
If we're in the parsha now of just of Hanah, so why can't the fact in Hanah of being able to choose which coin to give it to, why can't that count as well?
Okay, because I'm assuming here, and here I'm getting into something I'll come back to with Lee Medger, that we're not doing a Tovas Hanah. It's not, we're not doing a Bin Yotze with a Truma that I was mafresh necessarily, although we'll get to that. You know, the answer is we'll come back to that. Okay, another possible Svar, and the Rav took this approach, is, that's one Svar. Another possible Svar, in Michalik, you could say, there's a fundamental difference between the fact that the Kohen can eat Truma and the fact that Aniyim can eat Demai. Anyone want some Lumdish catchphrases that will explain the difference between the fact that Truma is edible by a Kohen and Demai is edible by a Niyam? Are those like similar types of edibility? Right?
It's a mitzvah to eat the Truma. No, Demai is a Takana.
Okay. How about Hutra Dechuya? Why is Truma edible by a Kohen? Truma is edible by a Kohen because the whole point is that it's eaten by a Kohen. It's not just Hutra, like the whole point is eaten by a Kohen. Truma is supposed to be eaten by a Kohen. Demai, it's Dechuya. They made an exception, a Kula, that you could feed Demai to Anim. Demai is not naturally meant to be fed to Anim. Just b'shas ha'chak, they made a kula you could feed Demai to Anim. It is Dechuya. As a matter of fact, the Rishali says, maybe we'll get to it, sorry, that you feed Demai to the Anim, and if they want to take off Meiser, they do. Really, the Ani should take off Meiser from his Demai. It's just like if you're stuck, there's room to be Makil. So maybe you could say that. Chilik is very clear. Question is how to get from here to there. And here, the Rav says it one way, if you recall. But maybe you could say over here, this counts as heter achila because it is hutra legamri. That's heter achila. It's not heter achila to me, but it's a real heter achila. It is totally mutter for the kohen. Not just mutter, it's like a mitzvah for the kohen to eat it. However, when it comes to feeding the aniyim demai, it's not really mutter for the aniyim. It's dechuya for the aniyim. Right? Here, no. It's not really mutter for the aniyim. Just dechuya. It's a kula. It's not really mutter for aniyim. Really, no one should eat demai. But the Shas Hachak, Chazal didn't want the Anim to starve, so they threw in this Dechuya, and then maybe you could say that you can't take a Dechuya or a Dechia into account unless it is relevant to you. Here, the Rav took a different one. Meaning, I made such a good argument that it's not really heter achila, it's not really mutter phrenim, it's just a chuya phrenim, that you should say, even though I have a migu that I can mach marina chasm, I still shouldn't be yotzei, because it's not really heter, it's a chuya. So that's, meaning this is too good of an answer. So why does even the migo work? So I want it. So the Rav says the migo doesn't really mean migo. It really means we changed our mind and decided that the mind wasn't really treif. It's really just an iglai milsa, simon that the mind isn't really treif. Or I want to say no. Maybe you can say when something's a hutra, it's a total heter, that the chefta is mutter ba'achila. When something has a dechuya, that's not pulled the chefta that's mutter ba'achila, unless that dechuya is accessible. And I, this is what I'm trying to say. Here, the chefta is naturally mutter ba'achila. As opposed to in this case, the chefta is only seen as mutter ba'achila if I can access the dechia. If I can access that dechia, then we'd say, oh, there's something mutter ba'achila, because like this guy who's holding it now can eat it. If someone else can access the dechia, but not me, then maybe we're not going to view this as heter achila, okay, maybe the word chefta is a little too strong. Maybe that's the way to go. So you can pick which way you want to go. You could say it's based on hutra dechuya. A hutra, for one, makes it heterachila for everyone. A dechuya for someone else, you know what? A dechuya is only chal when it's relevant. If I gave it to him, he would have a dechuya. But I didn't give it to him yet. So that's not relevant. Unless we could say that even I can have this dechuya and then make it relevant. Or the first approach, which, you know, might be just more elegant. If I could feed it to someone as part of my party planning and my household expenditures, that's lachem for me. If I could feed it to someone only by giving it away and getting no benefit and being altruistic and giving the things away, that's not lachem. Of course, you can give things away, that's not lachem. Lachem is to use them, not give them away.
Could you say another whole thing altogether? You could say that really, if someone can eat it, it's okay, but there's a problem. Truma's d'oraisa. So people are not going to, if you let them use it for taking this nesro, you know they're not going to go,
You're inventing Xera. Yeah, I would not want to fix it. It sounds like this is more lumpish. Okay, now we're ready to go on to the bar after word from Kessi.
Even within this formulation, it's still like that the Fuya objects can only be relevant to you if you can ask. Are you saying it's because like the very nature of something which is dahuya is only once it's relevant? Meaning like only.
Yes.
But if that's true, then still
the amigo. Then how does the amigo help?
Right.
Still. Okay. I admit that I'm still going to be a little stuck.
You can't make it that.
Okay. I admit that I'm still going to be a little stuck, and therefore the first answer
aren't
is
needed. Are we going on a combination of the two? Are we going easier here? Because the amigo is only us and Drevin in the first place, right? So.
That's coming the wrong way.
Why? I was going to say they can decide when it's mutter and when it's aser.
Yeah, but you think we should always be more mako by Dmai, and we're talking more machmer by Dmai, theoretically. Okay, let's move on to one other discussion in Gemara, which is din mamon. Right? The other, remember, heter achila olam are required in the end. Din mamon, only Rav Asi required in the end, and Rav Chiya bar Avin did not. What exactly counts as din mamon? So, we have some clear ideas as to what, at least seemingly, what doesn't have din mamon. So, Rashi says, for example, the Gemara starts out saying, Arla doesn't have din mamon. Why does Arla not have din mamon? Says Rashi. Arla doesn't have din mamon. And then, obviously, Meshach Shein, according to her mayor, doesn't have din mamon. Says Rashi, Orla doesn't have din mamon. She'eno shavapruta, disuri hanahu, hilkach lav shalachemu. It's not shavapruta, it's asur hanah, and therefore it's not lachem. If we remember, where did Rashi say something similar to this? No, something similar about shavapruta? Did Rashi say anything about lachem shavapruta before? By the sukkah, remember the sukkah of Kol Yisrael? Right? Oh. Why is the sukkah of Kol Yisrael not mutter because of the shutfas? He says, no, because each shutfas is less than a pruta, and therefore it's not lachem. Okay, so here, we have to figure out exactly what Rashi means. Rashi makes it sound like lachem din momo requires shavdus pruta. Requires it to be worth a pruta. The Menchus Chinuch asks a question on this. He says that's very difficult. If lachem means something has to be worth a pruta, what about in a lot of times and places when the Aravos were worth less than a pruta? The Gemara discusses cases where Hadassim were worth less than a pruta in the days of Chazal, right? The Gemara not in Sukkos. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, what if you steal three Hadassim that are worth two prutas and the price goes up, the price goes down, etc.? But from the fact that Chazal recognized that in some time, times and places, a Hadass or a Aravos can be worth less than a pruta, then why does Rashi mean that Shalachem has to be worth a pruta? So this is a famous question of Michas Kinoch, and I think we mentioned this, we even put it on the board, on Daf Chavzayinu Beis, which is, if I recall correctly, where Rashi said, and I'll read you the Lashon, the E.F. Shashi Lekulon, a sukkah of all the Jews can't belong to everyone, Lomaki Shavar Pruta Lecholchad, Elide Sheila. Everyone's not going to own a pruta unless they borrow it. So apparently, there's this idea of perhaps needing to own a pruta. And here, I think we have to... I guess we have three options. What to do with Rashi? What if Rashi had just said, it's Asur Bahana'a, then that would have been a lot simpler. Okay, if it's Asur Bahana'a, that's not din mamon. That I can handle. Why did Rashi throw in pruta? Why doesn't he just say, it's Asur Bahana'a? Like the Raiva did, as we saw in the Ritva. So here, Rashi, Eino Shavar Pruta, I think that was his Lashon. What do you do with that Lashon of Eino Shavar Pruta? One is very radical, and these are the same three options we have on the board then, perhaps, or almost. One is very radical Chiddush, which is that Lachem means that you need shavyos pruta. That's din mamon. Din mamon means it has to be worth a significant amount of money to you. A significant amount of money is a pruta. In which case, you get a tremendous chiddush, which is that if your hadas and arubas are worth less than a pruta, then you're not yotze.
Well, you could be.
Yeah. Which would be a tremendous radical chiddush. And what would Rashi say? I guess Rashi would say, you know what? At sukkah's time, they're usually worth a pruta.
We said that back then.
Yeah, I know. I know, I'm repeating myself. Tremendous chiddush, right? The chiddush is that if our ravos are worth less than a pruta, and that's why the Michos Chiyuv can't handle it,
you're not yotzei. Okay, well, Rashi would say, you know what, the rules of the fruit, then it could be, he would say, you can count them both together. Meaning, Rashi might say, arvei nachal, each one doesn't have to be with the pruta, together they have to be a pruta.
What about since it's a kli, like the Ramban and Shavuos, that if it's
published? It's not.
But we called it a kli when we're talking about Maki Bipatish by the Melacha.
Okay, but it's not really kli. Okay, the second option is just to say that, that, and here, you're going to have to say it slightly differently in Dafka Zayin, but you have to say that the Shavar Pruta of Rashi is Lav Dafka. He really didn't mean Shavar Pruta. He really meant Eino Shavar Klum. That's what Rashi meant. He really meant Eino Shavar Klum. The Pruta, I mean, it's a little tough to say it's Lashon Lav Dafka, right? He really meant to say it's not worth anything. Something's not worth anything is not yours, it's not Lechem. Okay, the Rabbi also said something not worth anything is not yours. That's not such a chish. You just have to take his loss on Davka. If it's worth a tenth of a pruta, that's fine. If it's worth a half a pruta, that's fine. But Yisuri HaNar are worth nothing because they're totally forbidden. The other option is to say maybe, and here, this is a bit more lundish, because the first option is a little radical because you reach a radical conclusion that if all of a sudden prices go down or silver goes up, right? Remember, we discussed the value of the pruta last year. If all of a sudden silver goes up, and now your arbavos are worth less than, and arbavos price goes down, they're worth less than a pruta, then no Jew could be yotzei arba minim. And that seems like a very radical conclusion. Maybe you'll say, Hashem does hashkacha pratis and make sure it'll never happen.
Maybe you
but,
buy a set.
You know, we prefer not to have to rely on that.
No, the price is by a set. It's together, it's not one by
no, because Rashi is talking only about the esrog. So you can count both arbavos, but you can't count all four minim. Okay, and to take shor pruta out of Rashi, I very much like to do, but he does mention the word Shavar Pruta. So maybe the other option is to say no. There are two ways of having lachem, right? You could say that something is lachem if or din mamon either you can control and use it, or it is worth, or let's say, it contributes a pruta to your net worth. Meaning there are two ways that you can have lachem, that you have din mamon. Either, maybe you can't do anything with it, but it's worth a pruta in your portfolio. Okay, then that's mamon. Or it's not worth a pruta, but you can do something with it. That's also din mamon. So, for example, if you just have our rubbish, they're very cheap, but you can do whatever you want with them. You can use them however you want. That's din mamon. But isuri hana'a, you can't do anything with. If you can't do anything with them and they're not worth money, then that's nothing. And go back to the shutfus. If I own something myself, even if it's worth less than a pruta, that's din mamon. But if I'm a shutuf in something, I can't actually do anything with it. I'm a shutuf with a million other people in a sukkah. I can't carry it someplace. I can't dictate where to build it. I can't even like find my spot. So, you know, I own one share in IBM. So is that mamon? I can't do anything with it. Ah, but since it's worth money to me, it's mamon. But if I own one share in IBM and it's worth less than a pruta, then it's nothing. So maybe I think this could be the best pshat in Rashi. Rashi's not saying you need a shavar pruta to be lachem. No, he's saying you need either usefulness or shavar pruta. And since it's also about not useful, and I can't do anything with it practically. It's not practically, I don't practically do anything with it, and it's not worth money to me, then that's not lachem. But ein echnami, if I could practically do whatever I want with it, then it would be lachem, even if it wasn't shavar pruta. Okay, that's Chazar of what we said at the time.
Was Rashi on the side of those Rishonim in Kiddushin? I don't remember. In Kiddushin, where they did the Chazi, where we said Chalip in Pachos Mishavar Pruta, there should be Nikudesha because they did the Chazi.
Maybe you could say.
I don't remember where
question.
Rashi was in that.
Right, that's an interesting question. Okay, but it's not so questionable right here. I'm going to leave that uncertainty in for now. Okay, let's briefly discuss that. Now let's move from here to try to figure out exactly what this din mamon thing means. And I want to view that in the context
of a few machlokos as to what counts as din mamon and what doesn't count as din mamon. So, you know what? Here's the basic question. Let's start with the basic question. Remember, Rav Chiya bar Avin holds you don't need din mamon. Does that mean I can be yotze with a bottle of lulav if I don't need din mamon?
That's a separate din.
Of course I can be yotze with a bottle of lulav. That's a mishnah, right? When yotze preaching shal chag, you're not yotze with lulav shal chaveiro. You need to own your lulav. Hold on. So if the mishnah says you need to own your lulav, why is there a focus on Marah whether you need din mamon? What are they arguing about? Everyone agrees you need to own your lulav. That's a mishnah. Right? We didn't see that Mishnah yet, but we've seen it quoted a gazillion times. What is it? Daf Mem Aleph or something? It says, "Mepnei she'amar chacham einad miyotze yidei achovasu miyotze rishon b'lulavo shel chaveiro." Okay, so it's very clear that you need to own your lulav. Maybe. So what's not focused about din mamon?
They can be different in the chefza and the relationship with the chefza. Namely, they can be. One question is: do we consider this chefza a legitimate, significant chefza? Which is the question of the moment. And then there's the question: even to the extent that something's not really to the chefza, but there's the question of the relationship with it. Even if we don't call it the moment, but if it's borrowed, and you say that you don't need the moment, but if it's borrowed, I didn't have a sufficient relationship with it to use it.
So I need to have a relationship of owning it. The moment is saying beyond that relationship, it needs to be
legally significant.
It needs to be. It needs some significance beyond just my owning it. Okay, so here is actually a fascinating two ways of understanding this machlokas. Here we have Rav Chiya bar Avin, who says you don't need din mamon, and here we have Rabbi Asi, is it?
Yeah.
Who says you need din mamon? One way of understanding this, but everyone agrees that you're not yotzei with lulav shel chaveiro, right? You don't need din mamon. But everyone agrees. L'kuli alma eino yotzei. This is a fundamental, I think we've been diagnosed with Shonen, but it's famous as a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Avne Miluim. We actually saw this Magen Avraham. I don't know if we saw it as a Magen Avraham, we saw it as a Uraim. Magen Avraham is just quoting Uraim. It's a famous machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Avne Miluim. Says the Magen Avraham, of course you need to own your lulav on the first day. Everyone agrees you need to own your lulav. Let's call one approach is, let's call it Urayim Magen Avraham. Everyone agrees you need to own your lulav. Right? You need bailus. You need to be the bailum on your lulav. So then what's the machlokes din mamon? It's not a question of whether you need to own your lulav or not. Obviously you need to own your lulav. But Rav Asi is saying you also need financial significance. So, for example, let's just illustrate that. I know you can illustrate that in more than one way. But what's one example of financial significance? Let's say you could sell it for money, right? It's not enough to own it. You need to be able to sell it for money. What is Rav Chiya bar Avin saying? He's saying, no. You just need to own it. But it doesn't need to be financially significant. You don't need to be able to sell it for money. For example, Meiser Sheni, even if it's Mon Gavon, you can't sell it for money. That is good enough. Now, the Magen Avraham and the Urayim didn't say any of this. What happened? The Magen Dvarim said quoted the Urim saying one simple thing. If you hold Gezel Akum is Mutter, we hold Gezel Akum is Asur. But if you hold Gezel Akum is Mutter, said the Urim, if I steal a lula from a guy, I'm not Yotze. So even though it's Mutter, but it's not mine. It might be Mutter for me to steal, that doesn't make it mine. So it's not mine. You need to own your lulav. And therefore, likewise, the assumption is, what if I have a lulav of Hefker? I have a lulav of Hefker. I pick up a lulav, right, from Hefker, and I have in mind not to be Kona. So then, I wouldn't be Yotze. Right? That's the Nafkamina. Nafkamina is, what about lulav, guzzle, goy? Lemanda Omar, Gezel Akum is Mutter, or Lulav Shel Hefker, Velo Zachum, Velo Ratzalikinos, right? He doesn't want to be Kona the Lulav of Hefker. Why not? I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't want to be Kona the Lulav of Hefker. Maybe because it's an Asherah and he doesn't want to make an Asherah Demoshe, right? That's the Amun suggest. Velo rotza liknoso. So this is exactly what they say. Lo yotza, because you don't have bailus. Everyone agrees lo yotza, you don't. Everyone agrees you need to own your lulav. The machlok zing Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Chira Oven is whether besides owning your lulav, you need to be able to sell it for money. It needs to be valuable financial property called din bamon. But everyone agrees you need to own it. However, the Avnei Miluim disagrees. The Avnei Miluim was on the Makor sheet, I believe. It was in the end, but it was a short Makor sheet. The Avnei Miluim disagrees about both of these cases. I don't know if he explicitly says the Hefker. But in any case, says the Avnei Miluim. And now I'm filling in. All we know from the Urim and the Magen Avraham is that everyone agrees you need to own your lulav. They take as the repashit, everyone agrees you need to own your lulav. If you need to own your lulav, then what's the machlokas bet din mamon? If you need to own your lulav, lechora, that's the machlokas. The Amli Lulim says no. Says the Amli Lulim. He says, since we pass like Rav Chiya bar Avin, which we'll see is controversial, but most people assume that we pass like Rav Chiya bar Avin, Ledidon, the Kaimalan, Ke Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. He says Yotza. Nope. He says you're Yotze with Gezel Akum. You're Yotze with Gezel Akum if you hold this Mutter. We don't hold this Mutter. But if you hold this Mutter, you're Yotze with Gezel Akum. Oh, you don't own it. Who says you have to own it? You're Yotze with Hefker. Oh, you don't own it. Who says you have to own it? So why aren't you Yotze with a borrowed lulav?
Somebody else.
Because what does he say? It's somebody else's sawat. You don't have to own your lulav. Says the Avnei Miluim, you're not Yotze with. Now you could have said, but the Avnei Miluim himself says, you could have said, you don't have to own it, just to be not someone else's. But then he wouldn't dispute this, you're right. So he says, you know why the Kuliyam, you're not Yotze with Lulav Shachavero? Because there's no Heter Achila. You're not Yotze Lulav Shachavero because it's usher to eat your friend's esrog. You're not going to eat a lulav, but it would be usher to consume your friend's lulav, right? There's no heter achila. You're not allowed to consume. If I borrowed something and I eat it, what am I called?
A goslin,
right? Perhaps a goneth in some circumstances, but generally a goslin.
Why is that any worse than truma?
What?
Why is that any worse than truma from that a coin?
Because truma I could feed to my grandson. But if I borrow something, I can't feed it to my grandson, right? According to that first hesber, which I think was a nicer hesber. Maybe you should have just stuck with that. It's a big difference. I'm not talking about eating, I'm talking about consuming. I can consume truma by feeding it to my grandson. I can't consume a borrowed thing. He says, not everyone agrees you need bibles. You just need heter achila. You just need to. The reason... So therefore, Gezel Akum is Mutter, I'm Yotze, says the Amli Gloom, with the guys, with something I stole from a guy because I have Heter Achila. If Gezel Akum is Mutter, then I can eat it. If there's Hefker, I'm Yotze because I have Heter Achila, I'm allowed to eat it. The reason I'm not Yotze with a borrowed Gloom and Esrog is because There's no heter achila. I'm not allowed to consume it. If it's an esrog, I can't eat it. If it's a lulav, I can't burn it in my fireplace because that would be stealing, because I have to give it back to the owner. Eina chanami. Let's say someone said, here, borrow my esrog and feel free to eat it if you want. Then I would be able to say, even though it's not mine, I have a heter achila. Right, but the problem is that wouldn't really be borrowing, right?
It seems a bit of a chiddush because, as we were saying, Rashi, he said that the reason for heter achila is an extension of lachem, extension of value.
So
it's value that you can eat, but now.
Okay, but the other one would say that just because we said that doesn't make it right. If that is not an extension, it is a reinterpretation. By the way, what did the Gemara in Basra say about tfusas habayis? Let's say the father dies. He leaves five sons, and they haven't divvied up the property yet. Can any of them be yotze with an esrog from the house?
No, etrula should sleep.
Kesky, what does it say?
The Gemara? You can, as long as there's enough that, like, if you took this, everybody else would take their honors.
But that's not what it says. Is that what it says? What does it actually say? Is it quoted here? I admit, it doesn't, the Lashon is not quoted explicitly in our Tosos, but, Baba Basra, Kof Lamet Zayin of the Beis, it says what I was thinking and what Chesky said. Okay, so Chesky's right, but that's not the line I was looking for. Im Yochol Lo'ochlo Yatza, V'im Lav Lo Yatza. If this brother could eat it, then he's Yotze, and if not, not. Then the Gemara says, when can he eat it? If there's one for everybody, he can eat it. But the main point of the Gemara is, if he can eat it, he's yotze, if not, not. That works very well for the Amelie Malone. What do you need? You need the right to eat it. We're not interested in who owns what. It's all owned by the estate. So, can I be yotze if something owned by the estate, if I'm an heir? Who cares? What we care about is, can I eat it, can I not eat it? That works very well for the Amelie Malone. Now, to fill in the Amelie Malone, let me just be fair. This is what the Akronim say, and this is what, you know, we infer. Then what's the machlokes between Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Chiya bar Avin? The truth is here, it's not just referring to the Avin, it was pretty clear. Rabbi Asi says, you need vaylos in addition to heter achila, while Rabbi Chiya bar Avin would say, no, you don't need vaylos. Just heter achila. So I think there are two different ways of understanding the machlokes in Rabbi Chiya bar Avin and Rabbi Asi bar Din Mamon. For the Avin Miluim, the Mishnah never said you need Din Mamon, just heter achila. Sorry, the Mishnah never said you need vaylos, just heter achila. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin holds you don't need vaylos. And what is Rabbi Asi coming to be machmir? He's machmir, you need bailos. But, according to the Magen Avraham and the Reyim, again, it only works as the Magen Avraham pasul like Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, but let's assume that he does, because he's on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to work out that way. For the Magen Avraham, and that's why the Magen Avraham is better than the Reyim. We'll just stick the Magen Avraham here. Why? I know I said very quickly. Because the Reyim says, I'm Yotzei, I need bailos. But we don't know if he passed like Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. But the Magen Avraham, it's pretty clear he passed like Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, and he still requires bailos, and says you're not yotze with gezalakum. So what does that prove? It proves everyone requires bailos. Being Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, being Rabbi Yossi require bailos. And why? Oh, because the Mishnah says you're not yotze with someone else's. Does that mean you need bailos? He doesn't like this happening in Lum's way of reading the Mishnah and Daftar Aleph. So then what's the chokes? Everyone requires bailos. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin says just bailos is enough. Yas says you need more than bailos. You need your financial significance. You need to be able to sell it and make money from it. It needs to be, you know, it needs to be a financial asset. It's not enough for it just to be something you own.
Why do we say over here it's because there's no heter achila? The only way he got it was because he was given a matana al manach l'asir. And if he eats it, he's not maksir. It was never a matana, so he didn't even have a right to use it. So it's not because of heter achila.
Hold on, here we're not talking about the master, we're talking about borrowed.
Well, you borrow because you're going to give it back.
Okay.
You borrowed.
So you don't have a heter achila.
Yeah, but it's not the heter achila. It's the fact that you didn't borrow it because you had a matana al manasa.
No, but the Gemara is not talking about matana al manasa. The Mishnah is talking about she'ila.
you should be asking a different kasha, which is nowadays, based on the Gemara Kedushin, we use Matan Manas Lahatz here. How can we use Matan Manas Lahatz? You don't have a heter achila. The Achronim asks this question. Nowadays, I say, can you give me your esra Matan Manas Lahatz here?
Right.
Oh, but I don't have a heter achila, because if I eat it, then in Gloy Milsa Lamafreya, then there's never a Matana.
Right. Right.
So that is a knotty problem all the Achronim ask. Yeah. Their answer is going to be technical. Ultimately, their answer is no. If the only reason I can't eat it is because retroactively that would change something, that's still called having a heter achila. I have a heter achila. It's just that it would retroactively change the situation. Okay, that's a chiddush, that it's called having a heter. If I have a heter achila, it's just that retroactively it would change something else. I don't have a better answer to that. We'll leave that for more thought. Now, I just want to analyze some of the things on the sheet. I think this is the good framework for analyzing some of the things in this sheet. So, for example, let's look at Isuri Hanah. Right? There's a famous machlokas. Famous machlokas. Is there bailus in Isuri Hanah? Can you own Isuri Hanah? Now, the truth is, I don't want to go into this. There's 100 slightly different cases. The way the Ketzos quotes, there's a famous Ketzos about this, is there zechiyah the Isuri Hanah? Can you acquire Isuri Hanah? Just to be fair, one could differentiate between the question of can I acquire Isuri Hanah versus if I already own them, do I continue owning them? Right? There might be a difference between status quo and acquisition. But let's assume for our sake not. It's the same question. Can I own Isuri Hanah or can I not own Isuri Hanah? Is there ownership over Isuri Hanah or not?
We said by Chometz Pesach that it's not yours, just that the Torah, some of them,
Okay, so let me come back to that. That is a great question, right? What's the evidence? Is there ownership over Isuri Hanah or is there not ownership over Isuri Hanah? On the one hand, right, I didn't put all the kiyos here, but the famous Gemara B'sachim Daf Vav Amud Beis. Shnei dvarim einim b'shusos shel adam ba'asana kasav ke'ilu shel b'shusam
or b'shusos
rabim, which has nothing to do with Yisrael Hanah, and chametz on Pesach.
After your book.
Chametz on Pesach, I seemingly don't own. But the Torah made me chayim b'al yorah b'al anyway. Okay, anyone know what is a famous sugya in Shas, which is the source for those who hold that you do own your Yisrael Hanah? You mentioned this to me. Yes, get one is Dachaf Aleph, right? Kosvin get al Isuri Hanah. The husband can write the get in Isuri Hanah, and then he gives it to the wife. We assume, the post assume the husband has to own the get. So therefore we see that, and then he has to give the wife, she has to own the get. So you see, there is ownership over Isuri Hanah, because the get is kosher in Isuri Hanah. Okay, so this is the real question. Is there ownership in Isuri Hanah, or is there not ownership in Isuri Hanah? Bailos or Zechia b'Isurei Hana'a. That is the famous machlokes right here in our sugya. It all starts from our sugya. Machlokes between the Raivan and the Ritva. Some of the Achronim quoted as the machlokes between the Raivan and the Rashba. Then they point out that the Rashba is so sure what he says in the Chuvos, because in the old days, I still have a set of Chedusha Ritva and Chedusha Rashba at home. You know, Rashi print, no notes or anything. In the Chedusha Ritva at home, there's no Masech HaSukkah. In the Chedusha Rashba that I have at home, there's a Masech HaSukkah, which is the Chedusha Ritva. They accidentally put the Chedusha Ritva on Sukkah, thought it was the Rashba, and put it in the set of Rashba. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, at the page at the end of his Kobetz Aharos and Yevamos, lists every single Rishon that was published in his days that was misattributed, and who really wrote it. Now you don't need that anymore, because they fixed it all. Okay, so just if you ever see someone say it's Machlokas Rashba, Raivin and Rashba in Sukkah, you'll know they mean the Ritva. The beer run Shas we saw once or twice quoted the Rashba and Sukkah, he meant the Ritva. Okay, but in any case, this is a famous machlokas between the Raivid and the Ritva, says the Raivid. The Raivid says that there is no bailus on Isuri Hanah. You don't own Isuri Hanah. Right, that was right here. Where did I put my coats? The Ritva quoted him twice. I think the first was really straight and to the point. He says, "V'naket arayved dvarim kipshutan yechemed less lo hetarchil v'dimamon v'havli shoranah lochriv v'lochem do less behu midi uman degozlu lo v'gazlan." Because less behu midi, you don't have anything in it. If someone steals
it from you. They're not a gazlan. Sounds like you really don't own it. And then you put that together. But he says in Daf Lamed Hey, when he quotes the Ravid, and he says, Pirish Ravid Dorik Pshutan, again, he says, Yeah, when he argues on the right, he says, okay, maybe I will leave that out. The right, when he says, definitely sounds like, maybe it's not 100% clear, but the right, it certainly sounds like, I'll read it again, you own nothing in it. Whoever steals it from you is not stealing anything. He really sounds like there's no ownership of Isur Hanah. Likewise, Rashi in Pesachim sounds that way. Because on Pesachim Daf Vav and Beis, Rashi says, it's not his. Okay, so the Ravid, and he just says, Eino Shalom, it's not his. Right? The Ravid and Rashi and Sachim sounds like there's no ownership. But what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, what do you mean? You can't do anything with it. But there's still ownership. You can still own Isur Hanah, says the Ritva. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. If it's yours and no one else owns it, then that's yours. And he says, likewise in Daf Lamed Hey, he says, sorry, whatever's yours in your possession, so the Ritva clearly thinks that there is bailus in Isurei Hanah. Okay, it's not useful to you, but just because something's not useful doesn't mean you can't own it. And there are many other Rishonim that weigh in on this. The Rashba is maybe the clearest. He says the same thing in the Dorim, says the Rashba in the Shut, which is the way at Mudr Hanah, right? I make a neder, you can't have enough of my property, and I give you a lulav, are you Yotze? It's also about nodding you because of the neder. Says the Rashba, on the second day you're yotzei because you don't need lachem. That's easy. From yom aleph lo yotzei. Tabi inu l'kachlechem yishalachem lo mishul l'suri hanah. V'hachay kivin shavol yado iser k'demashu n'dorim k'kri alay et cheirim v'nasna lo matana aser. I said my property is aser by nada. If I give it to you, it becomes aser. The eino koloi klalushum davar. Right, that's the money quote. Eino koloi klalushum davar is very clear. He doesn't own it at all for any purpose. Right, he doesn't own it at all. The Mekidish Vaseisha Eina Mekudeshes Ukeshar Isurei Hanah Davu. Right, if you do Kedusha, okay, that's the clear part there. And likewise, says the Rashba in Darim, if a father asserted his Nechasim Bahanah and his kid and died, the kid does not inherit it. Why? Because it's also Bahanah of the kid, and he can't own Isurei Hanah, so he doesn't inherit. Right, even though like he's the son and his father died, he doesn't inherit. Instead, the nechasim are, let's say, go to the other brothers or maybe their hefker. If there's no other, it's only some of the relatives, I guess. I don't know. You have to figure out what happens to them. So this is clear. Says we'll put him here. The Rashba, both in the Shuk, Eino Kalei Klalushim Davar. He doesn't just say you're not Yotzei Esrog. He says it's not Kalei Klalushim Davar. And likewise in Durham, he says you're not Yoreish Yisurin Hanah. The father dies, he leaves Yisurin Hanah. In this case, it only became like Yisur Hanah to this kid. Yasur Hanah to this kid, not to everyone else. The kid does not inherit. There's a famous Rivash.
Yeah, the Raya from the Lash of the Gemara, it's a Ritva. Kitute Michta Tziura. You just had to study Yisur Hanah with the Marna.
Okay, but we had many answers to that on the board last time.
All right.
Or I think it was last time. Now, let me just point out some other shitas that weigh in on this. The Rivash says, there's a famous Shur Rivash that's quoted in the Ketzos, which I intended to put in the Koreshi, but I apologize, I didn't. He says that, fascinating question, let's say a guy abandons some chametz on Pesach.
and I pick it up. Do I violate by Rabbi Yimatzeh if I acquire it? Can I acquire Yisrei Hana? So Rav Ash says, yes, I violate by Rabbi Yimatzeh because I can acquire Yisrei Hana. So here it sounds like there is bias in Yisrei Hana. Right? Shut Rav Ash, where's the Shut Rav Ash? It's in, I think, some tough Aleph. If I am not mistaken, yes. There is Shut Rav Ash, Simon Tuf Aleph 401. And the Ran, here the Ran is a little complicated.
Rabbi, I don't understand. You could still say the other one. Hasan HaKosa. Ki'ilu Hen Gurshu. So that the Torah gave you Bibles even though you shouldn't be. I mean, you could go the other way.
You could, but that's not how the Rav Ash says it.
Okay.
I realize that. The Ran is a little more complex, but the Ran in the Nedarim says if the father dies and he asks his nechasim on his kid, the kid does inherit. The Gemara says the kid doesn't inherit what he says. That means the kid doesn't inherit to do anything useful with. But he says the kid does inherit. So the Ran in the Nedarim says the same thing. And he also, but here it gets complex. It gets a little complex because it's all different cases. The Ran in Avodah Zarah says, if a Jew picks up Avodah Zarah, everyone remember what happens when a Jew picks up Avodah Zarah with a guy and acquires it? And Eilu Betel. How can a Jew acquire it? It's Aser Mana. So he says, at least that kind of Avodah Zarah of a guy, you can acquire, even though it's Aser Mana. He says, at least if it has potential for Betel, there's some acquisition. We'll come back to that in a moment. Okay, so now, just in the Ravid, I'll point out, Rashi Sakam says, clearly, Enu Shalom. Chametz Avisim is not yours. The Rashi says, clearly, Enu Konu Lo Vashem Dover. And likewise, the Nedarim says, Shut and Nedarim. Clearly, it doesn't belong to you. The Ravid put in the Ritva, we don't have this Ravid, it's just put in the Ritva. And we don't know exactly what he held. And B, he doesn't explicitly say you don't own it. He says it's not called lachem for ritual purposes. So if you wanted to deny that the Ravid says that, perhaps you could. But, you know, let's put maybe the Ravid. Again, why don't I put maybe the Ravid? You could say that the Ravid meant, if it's also right now, you don't own it. If you wanted to, you could say he meant, we'll come back to that. You do own it, it's just not called lachem. Especially according to that Magen Avraham Derech, that lachem means having a financial significance.
And the gods would think too.
What?
And
then he has to say he's not called a thief because he hasn't harmed you, even though he's taken something.
Yeah, I can do it.
But I admit it's dumb.
He's not a godless, it wasn't Isaac
Zalem. Okay, fine. Let's keep it right. Good. All right, take it back. Now, here I will point out that, first of all, how about the two main proofs? What are the two best proofs? The two best proofs are the best proof that you don't own it is Sachem Davavim Beis Enu Bershuso. Okay, I saw that Kasim Kilo Bershuso, but it's not Bershuso. Why is it not Bershuso? So that's a good proof for the Shita that there is no ownership of Yisrei Hana. Okay, it's a special Jairus Kasa. The Torah punished you anyway. Gives you Malchus anyway. Or gives you punishment for a lot anyway in Bali or Bali Matzei. But it's not for Shuso. There are two ways out of this in the Echronim. Anyone think of a way out of this? The Ritva is very clear that you own Yisrei Hana. The Ritva is 100% clear. You can own Yisrei Hana. The Ran is very clear, at least in many contexts, that you can own Yisrei Hana. So if you can own Yisrei Hana, why does the Gemara say that it's not Bershuso?
Or take it the opposite, because the Torah does put it for Yisurin, so therefore...
You're saying maybe...
Flip it.
What the Torah said by Rabbi Yimatzeh Kilu Bershuso, that makes all Yisrei Hana in your Rishus, exactly. Not just Pesach. That's not the simplest shot.
But he doesn't want it in his Rishus here, by the Chometz. It's Eid Rishuso because he made it not in his Rishus. Now the Torah puts it back in, but... He didn't want it. I mean, you have to want
You're
it.
You're saying Eno you know, Shusus because you don't want it. No, I don't think that's shocking.
The guy who's selling chametz.
Yeah,
he wants it.
All right.
There's a chiluk between bialus and rishus.
Aha. If anyone ever learned Baba Kama, you ever learned para the 7th or 9th part of Baba Kama? Gazal b'lunz yanshua b'ilim, shneim en yuchom lahakdesh. Zel of yishenu shalom, zel of yishenu rishus. We definitely mentioned that in Ksumas. This says the Ktsos, this is the Ktsos' answer in Simen Tav Vav. Says the Ktsos in Simen Tav Vav, the Gemara didn't mean it's eno shalom. The Gemara meant eno bershuso. The Gemara meant eno bershuso. What is eno bershuso? You don't have control over it. It's a daik in the Gemara. The Gemara didn't say shnei dvarim eno shalom. It says shnei dvarim eno bershuso. It's shalom. Yisurian are shalom. You own them. There's not bershuso. You don't have control over them. It's not matzoi. It's not available to you. And then a son of kosuk yilu bershuso. So the way to answer this,
but you're telling me a point is about the
Gemara. It's in your closet.
Ah, so he says no, but it's called a nubershuso because you can't utilize it.
But that's
a big mouthful of the ktsos, I understand. Says the ktsos, how does the ktsos defend this? He says no. It means shelo. The eno bershuso. It doesn't mean you don't own it. It means davke eno bershuso. Now, we all thought eno bershuso means you don't own it. Rishus means ownership. He says, no, go to Baba Kama, Dapsach, Pes, etc. And zelefi she'en shalom, zelefi she'en bershuso. I steal your animal, I can't be makdashit. I can't be makdashit before Yegosh, because it doesn't belong to me, even though it's in my possession. You can't be makdashit, because it belongs to you, but it's not in your possession. So that's what it really means. Chometz on Pesach is not really in my possession so much. Now, Aaron will say, what he means, not in my possession, my closet. No, it's not in my possession because the halacha doesn't let me access it. And that would pop you for Vayi Rabbah Yimatzeh, but the Torah nonetheless, L'chayim Vayi Rabbah Yimatzeh. That's a big havamina. There's another way, which the other Achronim say, to defend this. The other way the other Achronim defend this, do I remember who defended it this way?
Isn't that where Billy points the Baal HaMor anyway? I mean, the Ramban talking about Kinyonim in that also.
Perhaps. You could say that Chametz on Pesach is worse than other Yisuri Hana'ah. Maybe only Chametz on Pesach you don't own, but other Yisuri Hana'ah you do. In what way is Chametz on Pesach worse than other Yisuri Hana'ah? In what way is Chametz on Pesach worse than Orla and Klai Akarim? It's an Isser to own it. It's not just Asur Binen, it's an Isser to own it. And if it's an Isser to, it's an Isser to own it. Right? That's just about your own Matzeh. So A, first of all, it's a chiv to destroy it, like Avodah Zarah, and now it's a chiv to destroy it. It's an iser to own it. So you could say, no, that only chametz can't be owned. Because there's an additional iser to own it. It's not because of Asur Behana'ah that you can't own chametz and you need Asol Kasekilu Bershuso. No, Isra, no, you could own. It's because it's Asur to own. Or if you want, you could take Isra Chayit to destroy it. Remember the Rav said here in the Rishimas, the name of his father, Isra Avodah Zarah, there's no ownership on, but Erlen Klai Kerem there is ownership on. Because when you have to destroy something, that's like not being allowed to own it. So this is basically what I'm saying, you know, I'm going to rewrite this. Says regular Isuri Hana'ah can be owned, but not Chametz, because Chametz has an Isser of ownership. And in the Rishimas here, the Rav, I think he was quoting his father, no? In the Rishimas here? When he said this part, in 1 second, I printed it out for myself. He said here, give me a third of a second. Maybe I don't remember where it is. You think he's quoting his father? Done. Fine. So the Rav quoting the Gram, extended this to Isurei Avodah Zarah also. Why? Because Isurei Avodah Zarah, there's no Bayir Avah, you must say an Avodah Zarah, but you have to destroy them right away. It's a Chayra, which means you're not allowed to own them. Okay, what's the big proof for the Tzad that there is ownership? Is Gittin, I think it's Chaf Aleph from Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. Chaf Amin Aleph. Doesn't look it up. Gittin Daf Chaf Amin Aleph. That a get a kasuv al Isurei Hana'a is kosher. So that shows that you can really own and transfer Isurei Hana'a. But Nasam B'yada, you can give someone Isurei Hana'a. How do the Ksos get out of this? The famous Ksos that Joel wants me to quote. Or, 1 second. How do you defend against this? You have to just question an assumption. This is the biggest chakir in Masechus Gittin.
You don't need to know.
Exactly. What does it mean, the cost of La Sefer Krisos, v'nasan biyada? What does Nesina mean? You know, there's two kinds of Nesina in the Torah, right? Nesina can mean a kinyan, right? Nesina can mean a kinyan, like matana, right? Or Nesina can mean a physical act of placement, right? Right, when it says the Kohen should take the blood, v'nosan al karnos ha-mizbeach saviv, doesn't mean he gives it over as a gift to let the mizbeach acquire it. It means he just physically places it. So does Nesina's get mean he transfers ownership of the get, or just that he physically places the get in her hands? This is the biggest chakir in the book. The two obvious nafkaminas are, A, what if he transfers her ownership of the get without putting it in her hand? And B, what if he puts it in her hand without transferring ownership? Right? Obviously. So, says the Ktsos, this is, right, Ktsos is, this is the Ktsos in some tough love. This is the Ktsos in Simon Reish. Right, he's defending both sides. He knows the machlokes have shown him. He says, you don't need haknaas haget, just a maisa nesina. He doesn't say just. He says, dafka maisa nesina. The way, oh, where do we have this? We discussed this in Ksubas also, I think. Remember that Tosus written, Gittin Daf Ayin Ches, who says that if I throw it in Mishas Rabim and it's closer to her than she's divorced, and he says, or if I throw it in Dalet Amos, she's divorced, he says, oh, but that's not a valid kinyan in the Torah, not a valid kinyan at all. How does that work? He says, well, you don't need a valid kinyan for getting. You just need to give it to her.
Yeah, Kedushin
too. I mean, it came from Kedushin, right. Right, Alasela, that's where we got into this, right? Nesina Alasela by Kedushin, right? That's where we discussed it last year, right? So if you assume now, apparently, Rav Chaim Sorev Al Peh, I haven't found this written anywhere. That Rav Chaim disagreed with the Ketzos. He held, you need haknas haget. Okay, then he'd be stuck saying there's a chi of Isurei Hana'a, like the Ritva, which is fine. He has no problem being with the Ritva. But the Ketzos held, you don't need haknas haget, just Maisa Nesina, and then that would carry that proof. Okay, lemaisa, one could easily be mechalik, and this seems to come up in a few places. A lot of our chunim say, there might be, first of all, what's the svaras? What's the svar for the two sides? What's the svar to say you can own Isurei Hana'a? What's the svar to say you can't own Isurei Hana'a? Or by Bleich, actually, had a nice article on this. In like, it was a philosophy or a legal philosophy article. I think it's in his book of collected philosophical articles. I'm just not sure if it was a philosophy article or a law article. Law and philosophy, you know, sometimes the line is blurred, because law is very longish, and philosophy is very longish, and everything else is not. What's the svara for the two sides here?
The svara that you can't be
that it doesn't have, because you can't use it, therefore that means it's worthless. There's no meaning to an object that I can't use.
Meaning, there's no practical import to owning something that I can't do anything with. So therefore, what does it mean to own something if I can't do anything with it?
And the precedent for that could be by Amida, where you find that Yeush, even though it's like, is able to make you use it, or even more fundamentally,
I'd rather not go with Yeush, but I'd rather you said Zuto Shoyam, right? Zuto Shoyam, something falls into, it's not the literal translation, but falls into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Even if I'm not Mityaish, let's say, it's automatically Hefker, Because now that I can't do anything with it, there's no such thing as bailus if that bailus is not a practical ability to do something with it. So what's the other side?
They're not doing each other, that's the ownership of one.
That bailus is formal and not practical.
Right.
Bailus is formal. I think Rabbi Blake described it once, he must have gotten this from some philosopher or jurist or something. Bailus means like I have certain tentacles that extend, invisible tentacles extend to me to everything I own. Doesn't have to mean anything more than that. Just means a chalos. Right? So I think that's really the machlokas. Rav Lechstein was very fond of pointing out that many, many sodistic issues in Shas depend on whether you look at bailus as something more formal or more practical, especially going even further. Like, for example, if I lose something or it's stolen from me, should I own it or not? If you look at bailus formally, then of course I should own it, until there's some good reason to take it away from me. If you look at bailus more practically, then once it's lost or stolen, I don't really have bailus anymore. And I should relinquish my bailus, unless there's some reason for me to keep that bailus. This reminds you of like my favorite chakira, based on the machlokes of Rav and Rav and Sanhedrin that I invade, right? When something is stolen from me, do I naturally own it, until the ganav does some kinyan to be koneh? Or, really, I naturally don't own it anymore, except the Heshav Zagzela gives me back my bailus, because now I have something practical. Everyone's commanded to be Heshav Zagzela. And similarly, by Aveda, right? If I lose something, is it naturally mine until I'm Mafgir Kriyeyosh? Or is it naturally not mine, except the mitzvah say the Heshav is HaAveda, or Vashivosolo is the Lashon, doesn't say Heshav Saveda, but Hashav Saveda makes it mine, and if I merely am mochel that mitzvah say, it becomes not mine. These are fundamental chakiras in Bava Metzia, Bava Kama. We're not getting into them. Agav, you should know this is also a sticky point in moral philosophy between Jews and Christians in the Middle Ages. There are a few philosophical issues that became sticking points in Jewish-Christian relations in the Middle Ages. One of them was these questions about Veda and Gzela. The Christians took it as a Dover Pashat, that Bailus is purely formal. Everyone owns whatever they own until someone validly acquires it from them. And they did not understand this idea that a Veda after Yeush becomes Hefker, or that a Veda without Simonim, or etc. And our philosophy was very unclear on that. It could very well be on Pilumdus that we say, no, Bailus only means you're in practical control. And if you're not in practical control, then you're not a bailim, and it's taka achidish to be meshav aveda. Okay, so we're not meshav the aveda of a goy. Is that stealing from him or not? Okay, we're not getting into this now. Similar to the ribbis issue. Anyway, kitzer, I think that's what's going on here. If you view bailus as purely formal, if you view bailus as purely formal, then the rich man's right. It's mine, and no one else has any rights in it. Now, what rights do I have? I can't do anything with it. Doesn't matter. I have the right to do nothing with it, and you don't have the right to do nothing with it.
Get with
it. What? I can give a get with it, okay? The question is, that might not be... Yeah, okay, I can give a get with it.
Right. It could be the whole
exactly.
point. You don't need any rights.
Bailus is purely formal, as opposed to bailus is practical. If bailus is practical, then to own means that I can do some things with it that you can't. If I can't do anything, that's not much of a bailus.
Maybe it's still not exactly purely formal as much as the negative rights. Right? It's like with the Kodesh Baruch, you can't attribute positive. Like here, like you can just say that you have the right to prevent somebody else from being a god.
Ah, okay, but that's a funny kind of right because who cares?
I don't like this guy.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I just want to point out that in the Achronim, I'm not going to go through this now. The Achronim say that really all these sheets of the Rishonim are not necessarily fair because it might depend what kind of Isuri Hana'ah it is. So, for example, it could very well depend on how strong the Isser Hanah is. It could very well depend on how strong the Isser Hanah is. So, for example, one chiluk I already mentioned, the name of a few achronim in Psachim, you could say, for example, that perhaps chametz, there's no bilus on, but other Yisurei Hana'ah, there is bilus on, because chametz you're not allowed to own, and other Yisurei Hana'ah you're allowed to own. Or you could say chametz, right, because there's an Isser of owning. Or you could say chametz va'avod zara, because there's a chiyuv to destroy, which is basically similar to an Isser to own. If you have to destroy it, you can't really own, as opposed to other Isser Hana'ah. This is what the Rav said, right? You can't own avod zara, but you can't own other Isser Hana'ah. Or, let me just point out one thing, you could say that regular Isurei Hana'ah, you cannot own, but chametz shel goy va'avod zara shel goy sheyesh lahem heter, you can own. That's actually what the Ran says in this is the Gram. This is what the Ran actually says in Avodah Zarah. This is, who is the first Achron who said that shot about the Chametz? I was supposed to write down, and I might not have. Okay. The Ran of Avodah Zarah says, actually, if the Avodah Zarah of a Jew, I can't acquire it, even if he gives me the present. But if Avodah Zarah of the Goy, I can, because it's worth something. Because as long as the Avodah Zarah of the Goy, it can have bittul and be useful. Chametz of a guy is also worth something. Why is chametz of a guy worth something? No, but just wait till after Pesach, and then it's worth something, right? So he says, paradoxically, I can acquire chametz of a guy and avodah zarah of a guy, and then make them not worth anything, but I can acquire them because meanwhile they're worth something and they're subject to acquisition. So there are all these chilukim, and then they point out there's a bit of a skewer between the Ran. The Ran and avodah zarah implies that an Israel without any heter, you can't have bilus. But yet, the Ran Durin says, you can have bilus on something that someone made Osir Ban Adam and then died, but that is no heter, because once they die, they can't do a Taras and Durin. So, you could say that there's also a difference, and this is what the Achronim say for the Ran and the Durin. You could say that regular, or that Yisurei Hana'ah Lakol, there's no bilus on, but something that's a neder she'asur behana'ah rak lo umotur la'acherim, perhaps there is bilus on. That's why the Ran holds you can inherit things that you're mudur hana'ah from. Meaning, the Ran sounds like he'd admit you can't inherit Arla and Klai Akerim and Avodah Zarah. But you can inherit Mudra Hana'ah. Why? Because those are Asra Hana'ah to everyone. This is only about Asra Hana'ah to you and not to other people. And therefore, it should be subject to inheritance. This is what the Beis HaLevi explains, based on the Ran. Why? Either just because, well, it's generally a useful item. Or, he says, because I can't benefit from it, but I can give it to someone else to benefit from. So therefore, that's already a practical bilus. As opposed to Arlo, which I can't get to anyone to benefit from. Okay, this is just some background in terms of bias and Yisur HaNa'ah. Let's just bring this back to our sugya. What does our sugya say? Our sugya says that Arla doesn't have din mamon. Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph says Arla ain bo din mamon. How do I know it says that? Because the Gemara says, "Shall Arla puzzle my taima? Please, Baruchi Rogaratzi Chanu Vusha Einbo Din Mamon." Sounds like Arla doesn't have Din Mamon. If Arla doesn't have Din Mamon, what does that mean? According to the The Magen Avraham, what does it mean, Orla doesn't have Din Mamon? Nicha that Orla doesn't have Din Mamon. Because it has no financial significance. According to, though, the Avnei Miluim, at least it's very pretty clear that's what the Avnei Miluim says, Din Mamon means Bailos. So what does it mean that Orla has no Din Mamon? It means you can't have Bailos over Orla. That only works according to one side of the Chakira. Right? So this works. Limanda Omar Ein Bailos Be'isuri Hanah. Because according to him, Din Mamon means Bailos. If there's no Din Mamon, there's no Bailos. But what's the other side of the Chakira going to say? What's the Ritva and the Rivash and the Ran going to say? Now again, it could be that the Rivash and the Ran is not so pasha. Maybe the Rivash only means something of a guy. The Ran only means something of a guy. But what do you do for the other side of that Chakira? Right? What is the Manda Omar? The Isurei Hana'a. What's he going to say? If Yesh Bailos B'Isurei Hana'a, then why does that have no Din Mamon? So either, he'll have to take this side, he'll say Din Mamon doesn't mean Bailos, Din Mamon means financial significance. It's clearly not financially significant. Or, if you read the Ritva carefully, you have to read the Ritva carefully, either you just say he will disagree with the Avnei Miluim, that's one possibility. He'll disagree with the Avnei Miluim and go to the Magen Avraham. Or if you look in the Ritva says that really Orla does have Din Mamon. Yeah, in the Havamina they thought Orla didn't have Din Mamon. But really, Orla does have Din Mamon. That's what it's called. Salka Daitach Dehachi Ka'amar. We think Mar Savar because Einba Din Mamon, etc. But in the end, that's Kasalka Daitach. But in the end, he says, there's a good line, let me just find it. Yeah. Rav Asi lo polik ela b'hada asolim yosu achbinu v'lavai tamina v'yichu masulu yomishim v'lachem she'imu din mamu. V'lav mishom orlo truma d'hai yivadei lachem v'el mishom maishar she'imi. In the end, Arlan truma are not possible because of that. They have din mamu. It's only maishar she'imi that doesn't have din mamu. Or, you could say, like the Ritva himself, says that only b'havamina arla ein bo din mamu. But lemaskana, arla yeshbo din mamon. So basically, what I'm saying is that if you take the tzad, there's no bailus in Yisur HaNa, it makes perfect sense why there's no din mamon. There's no bailus. What if you take the tzad, there is bailus in Yisur HaNa? Then you have two choices: either go to the other tzad and say there's bailus in Yisur HaNa. Why is there no din mamon? Din mamon doesn't mean bailus; it means significance. Or you can take the Ritva. In the Ritva, obviously, what do we see? Held like the Avnei Miluim. Din Mamon means Bailos. Oh, but you know, there is Bailos in Orla. In the Hav, mean Orla didn't have Din Mamon. But in the Maskana, Orla does have Din Mamon, and it's Lachem. Oh, so why is it possible? Because we keep saying Mech Lashiri. But it's Lachem. Okay, what we didn't get to, but let me just point out.
That's the terrorist according to the Ritva altogether. Kitutim Mech Lashiri. You do have Bailin. You do have Bailos. But there's no shiur.
Correct, exactly. Okay, we didn't get to some of these makoros about the nature of mandat or maishar sheni mamon gavoh, whether we paskei mamon hedyon or mamon gavoh, and the hour is late. And I realized a unfortunate side effect of rishis smichas gula senu and shmir shabbos is an unfortunate side effect of the partnership between Reishis Smichas Gula Seinu and Shmir Shabbos, which in general is a partnership I'm supportive of. In general, I think the more those two go together, the better off we are, is that on Thursday we don't have Shir. The Reitz Israel Kolo does not have Shir on Yom HaTzma'ut, or the day... on the day which Yom HaTzma'ut is celebrated, correct? Not the day which is celebrated Rosh Hashanah, the way it's celebrated by... every other rabbi who celebrates it.
The same way that the Megillah was better than that.
So, very good. So anyway, we do not have Shir on Thursday, which means that I already saw the experiment of trying to move the Shir to a different day. It's tricky.
Rebbe, so you'll have a chance to rest.
Our next Shir is Monday. And what that means is that I'm going to be, you know, eating myself up over all the things that I will not have as much time as I want. I think what I'm going to have to do is give out a lot of makoros. We're allowed to have Seder and Yom HaZikaron. I give out a lot of makoros, and on Monday I'll just have to try to maybe be mekatzer a little in summarizing, because we still owe a little from the sheep, but we'll do it bekitzer nimratz. And there's a few other issues, so I'll give out a lot of makoros, and I'll try to be makatzer on Monday and catch up with the makoros as best I can.
Thank you.
So you're up to here, then, right? You're up to here?
Yes, although I did the last part.
Meanwhile, we'll hope that you.